big I love.
I'm Jewish.
Well, Merry Christmas, everybody. The next in our star-studded cavalcade of guests here on Christmas morning. We couldn't do a Christmas edition without Filthy Tom Lawler. And we dug up your favorite Christmas carol there, Mr. Lawler, courtesy of Adam Sandler for you to bring you into the show.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Adam Sandler is a huge favorite of mine. Despite his recent films, I still hold a very dear place in my heart for him.
Recent films? I mean, this guy, he's almost made a career now out of films that I detest. But hey, the man keeps getting work, so I have a hard time knocking him.
Billy Madison.
Okay, we're going back now to what, 95? That was two decades ago, Tom. We are 20 years removed from Billy Madison. We're getting old. And so is
Are you sure Hoyce Gracie didn't just win UFC 1? Is that what you're telling me?
God, that makes that movie feel even older. Holy Christ, he was putting that out around UFC 5 time. Jesus Christ. Well, Tom, it's been a while, Tom, since we've had you on the show. Is it just me, or has Tom Lawler been keeping quiet these last couple of months? I mean, you were supposed to be on the Ireland card. You weren't able to compete on that one, and you've been very quiet in both the MMA and pro wrestling circles, which, you know, I got my ear to the ground in both, and Tom Lawler seems to have been very quiet the last couple of months. Have you been trying to keep a low profile?
Yeah, I've been MIA pretty much with, Corporal Cajun.
You're hanging out with Lashley Pro,
General Rection. Yeah, I've been MIA. Not so much.
I love it that you can just pull that reference out just like that.
If you want me to keep going, I forget if he was Private Stash or what he ended up being, but Van Hammer.
Major Stash.
Yeah. I think the problem was, I think he was Private Stash, or he was supposed to be, and then he got upset. I believe I either read this or, pulled it up.
You're right. It was Private Stash because the major was Major Guns.
Yeah, yeah. And then he ended up being Major Stash, I believe, because he was upset that he was so low on the totem pole being a private.
Well, those rankings in MIA in 2000, I mean, those are prestigious spots.
Yeah.
How you rank Van Hammer against, Lash LaRue and Tylene Buck. Those were key considerations of WCW at the time.
Yeah. Well, don't forget, Booker T and Bill DeMott as well.
Of course. Just a classic.
Or Chavo Guerrero.
Yeah. Lieutenant Loco.
That's right. Yeah.
Now doing wonderful things in Lucha Underground. What wrestling are you keeping up with outside of just Japan? Cause I know you've got your finger on the pulse of the Japanese market. Have you been sampling Lucha Underground and, some of these other, a lot of secondary products that we're going to see on television next year?
Yeah. I haven't seen, the last maybe two episodes of Lucha Underground, due to like traveling, but I watched the first, four maybe. And, yeah, I think it's a really good show. I think it's something different. The problem is the platform they're on. I just don't see the viewership picking up very much.
Do you even get El Rey where you are? Cause we definitely don't in Canada.
No, I've been fortunate enough to watch it on Daily Motion.
Wow. Tom Lawler always has his sources for, procuring some of the most, rare programs out there. You know, we're coming up on, January the 4th. I know you'll be watching this. Have you gotten New Japan World yet? Or are you going to be watching this on traditional pay-per-view? That seems to be the debate people are going back and forth on, how they're going to watch this show.
Well, I have New Japan World. I haven't played with it, quite that much. I don't know. I haven't, done as much research probably as I should have. Is the, New Japan World streaming, service, is that going to be in Japanese commentary?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So I will be ordering the pay-per-view then so that I can listen to Matt Stryker, and his commentary. I'm a big Matt Stryker fan. So
how have you been?
He was probably the best choice out of anybody that they could have had, do the commentary for that show. I would say he's probably number one.
How dare you? How dare you say such things about Kevin Nash? Would you have not been more than intrigued to hear Kevin Nash call 4 hours of New Japan Pro Wrestling? I would have loved to have seen that experiment.
That, it would have been an experiment, that's for sure. That would have been interesting.
I heard there was some obscure Canadian in the running as well.
Yeah.
Some guy. Random, can't even think of his name off the top of my head.
Yeah, they're
kind of a.
I mean, if it's an obscure Canadian, I'm not sure who would want to listen to him. But Kevin Nash would have been interesting. I actually I went to a baseball game 2 years ago in Richmond, Virginia, and Kevin Nash was signing autographs there.
Did you get upset and yell at him like you did at Sting once at the Impact Zone?
No, I actually got his autograph, shook his hand, and you know, felt like a chump doing it.
How did he sign it? Did he sign it big sexy Kevin Nash? Was it just Kevin Nash? Was it a KN because he was in a hurry with a lot of people?
He actually signed it Oz, which was...
Oh, boy. Well, I guess that beats KN right there.
He signed my one of my colleagues' photo as Vinny Vegas.
Oh, boy. He just takes requests. Should charge more for the further down the gimmick path you have to go.
I don't know how much further you could go. I mean, what is it, like Master Blaster or something like that?
Kevin Nash, Al Green. My goodness. What are you most looking forward to on the Tokyo Dome show? We got 11 matches here.
Yeah.
Including Kazushi Sakuraba and Minoru Suzuki.
Yeah, that'll be an interesting one. You know, Sakuraba had that tremendous match with Nakamura a few years back. The one I'm probably most looking forward to actually is Nakamura and Ibushi.
Yeah, yeah.
Suzuki and Sakuraba could be good. I'm not sure how much time it'll get. I'm sure the Japanese fans want to see it probably more than the U.S. fans, barring myself, obviously. But I think maybe that match will get around maybe sub 10 minutes. With so many matches on the card, it's kind of tough to figure out exactly how they're going to fit everything in. But I think the big, like, I don't know how to say it without sounding like I'm making a pun, but...
Oh, go for it. I encourage
you. I'll just say the clash of styles between Nakamura
and Ibushi. Oh, very nice.
You know, it's something that I think will be really interesting. And I think it'll be a different match than the rest of the matches on the show.
Who do you think was your standout performer from New Japan this year? Because now that we're at the end of the year, I was really blown away by just how much AJ Styles just came into this organization, had a phenomenal G1. Oh, that was an unintentional one as well. And I mean, there's a lot to rave about when it comes to AJ Styles this year. But who were some of the standouts this year for you personally, just watching? Maybe ones that not the obvious, you know, Nakamura, you kind of knew what to expect this year with Tanahashi, Okada, but anyone that really upped their stock in 2014 in the promotion?
You know, I think some of the mid-card guys, like Lance Archer.
Yeah.
I think he's improved by leaps and bounds, and he might actually be, you know, he's in that tag team. He might be the better of the two workers at this point. I'm not sure. He's made some really big improvements, and I'm not sure if I just rate him highly because I rated him so lowly before. But I think he's really done some interesting things. A lot of guys like to talk about how good Hanma is and Ishii. So those guys have gotten a lot of publicity. As far as like guys in New Japan, I guess I can't really say, which guy surprised me because everybody there is really good. I was surprised by the, how good the finals match of the, Global League, the Noah Global League was. Even though that's a little bit off topic, but.
No.
Between Sekimoto and Segura. You know, I thought it would be a good match, but I thought, you know, that was one of the better matches I've seen.
You know, I think New Japan for this big card, the fact it's on pay-per-view, and Red Dragon here, double tag champions.
That's right.
A team you really took over the hump. I think they were right at that cusp as this year began, and the difference maker was clearly Tom Lawler in New York City. And I think it would be only fitting that Red Dragon should bring you to the Tokyo Dome for this huge four-way match, perhaps the biggest match of their careers. On January the 4th. I mean, how can they do this without Tom Lawler, the man who landed them on TMZ, no less?
It's a very valid point. Unfortunately, due to...
I should be your agent here. Look at me selling Tom Lawler here. This is the infomercial for Tom Lawler to New Japan.
It's not too bad of an idea. Although, I guess my agent hasn't been picking up the slack lately. Although he did land me a pretty sweet Reebok deal.
Ooh.
That'll go into effect in summer. of 2015. So I'm pretty happy about that. I'm not sure how New Japan, Red Dragon's going to do in this upcoming match. You know, I've tried to impart as much of my wisdom as I can on them. I'm sure that they're going to walk away, the champions on the fourth. You know, whether it's by chasing the dragon or an armbar submission, you know, I'm calling them as the winners, obviously. So, yeah, I think they'll have a really good match. You know, I think it'll probably be over quick and it'll be a lot of interesting spots, especially with those four teams.
Have you extended an invitation to train CM Punk? And what are some of your thoughts as someone that certainly can understand the decision to do this, but as a fighter, I mean, what's your reaction? I'm curious.
I don't think he'll end up fighting, so it doesn't really interest me.
You don't think he'll hold up in a camp?
No. No, I don't. He's in his mid-30s. He's like 36, right?
Yep.
After listening to his interviews with Colt Cabana, kind of comes off as a little entitled, I guess I would say, to be causing such a big commotion because you're not getting a main event in WrestleMania, right? Like, you don't just walk into any company and get the job you want. That's not how it works. There's a hierarchy, you know, in there somewhere. If people don't want you at the top, you know, you could do your best to get past that, but it seems like he's holding on to it. And I really wonder what his motivation is going to be as far as being in a camp every day where you don't have that daily motivation, right? There's no repercussions if you don't go out and perform day to day in the gym, like there is when he was on the road. If he didn't show up at a show, he's going to get in trouble. He's going to get his pay docked, you know? There's going to be a lot of other issues that stem from that. As far as being in a fight camp, you don't have that. There's one big goal at the end of the tunnel, and it's like Groundhog Day. And if you've never been in that situation before, it's pretty damn boring, and it's pretty taxing. And I really just don't think he'll be able to make it through an entire camp. Now, if he does and he fights, good for him. He can scratch it off his bucket list. But on the flip side, there are a lot of guys who – take the same standpoint on his situation as he took on The Rock coming back and taking a main event spot at WrestleMania. Sure, it's a different sport, different situation, but along the line somewhere he's taking money. Maybe he might be bringing money in to a certain degree, but he's taking a spot with the spotlight that could go to somebody else. And, you know, I'm not so much against it in the grand scheme of things as much as I'm critical of it because it's hypocritical of him to do.
Right. And not so much having an issue with the fact that the UFC is doing this. I guess because, you know, if you're the UFC, they're in an interesting spot right now where if this guy is adamant on fighting, it's, you know, do we just let this guy just go on to Spike TV and fight? Are we doing our job as a business here? But at the same point, you know, a lot of fighters are just opposed to this for the reasons you outline. And I think Punk understands where that criticism comes from. And you bring it up in pro wrestling. It's like everyone is shooting for those top spots. And it comes down to, you know, what the public is going to buy here. And I think it's going to be an interesting test case, I think, regardless of whether this actually does turn off anyone. I don't think it's going to, but it's certainly going to be a decision that is criticized.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the big things is you take Bellator and you take Spike TV out of the running, and there's no way that the UFC signs them. I just don't see it happening. Now I could be wrong. You know, obviously I'm not a businessman. If I was, I'd be in much better financial situation than I am now. You know, I mean, it garnered some attention. I don't know how much it'll translate to as far as pay-per-view buys or viewership, maybe on Fox. But we've got to get there first, you know.
What is the future of Tom Lawler? Will we be seeing you returning to the Octagon anytime soon? Do you have a timetable? And how are you feeling health-wise?
My health's really good, actually. Currently in the moment, I'm in Las Vegas, and I've been getting some training in at Syndicate MMA. Just a couple of weeks ago, I was back in the Rhode Island area, and I was training at Timberville BJJ. So I've been getting a lot of good work in. I'm just trying to you know, build myself back into fighting shape, basically. It's been about 18 months since I've been in the octagon. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. I've suffered two pretty serious knee injuries in that time that required surgery. And now I'm almost in the super heavyweight division. So I've got to start whittling my way back down, and or I'll just fight at that weight, much like Crash Holly.
You could go the super heavyweight direction. Maybe slim down to 265, and there could be some fun fights for Tom Lawler there at heavyweight.
Yeah, I think I could see myself carrying around a scale to the weight, maybe around fight week, carrying it around, maybe call some people out in the playground for a shot at my UFC hardcore title, 24/7 rules.
Wow.
So
maybe you just need to hook up with a promotion that's less regulated, kind of under the radar, and you could introduce the 24/7 title. You just go gym to gym and you challenge anyone in that gym. Go real old school, man, like old Gracie style.
I have thought about the UFC gives us Christmas gifts. They're very fortunate. We're very fortunate to get them. I've gotten some pretty good Christmas gifts over the year. And one of the ones that we had in the past was a gift certificate to the UFC shop. And I thought about buying one of the belts and trashing it and then carrying it around and challenging people 24/7 rules, but I'm not sure how well that would go over with the UFC management. So
you just got to explain that you're building for something much bigger.
Yeah, the idea is there. I think it would go over well in a series of YouTube vignettes, but I'm not sure that the office is going to push for it. So,
well, I think you just got to work some creative control into your next deal with the UFC and just see where things go. They might be open to this direction with Tom Lawler.
Yeah. I think they could maybe put me on the booking committee. It might work well.
That would be fantastic. Well, Tom, I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. Thank you so much for stopping by here on Christmas morning. I encourage everyone, Filthy Tom Lawler on Twitter, a man that I always love chatting with, whether it be about MMA or professional wrestling. He follows it religiously. And enjoy the Tokyo Dome show on January the 4th, and I'm sure we'll chat with you afterwards. Don't be a stranger. We love having you. It's been here we came on Christmas. I'm like, I haven't heard from Tom Lawler in quite some time. It's just not the same when we don't have a regular presence from Tom Lawler.
Well, I was overseas for quite a while, John. I was in Australia for months. So,
what was in Australia?
Kangaroos,
gators. Just riding kangaroos?
They're actually crocs, not gators. I was over there, just hanging out pretty much.
Oh, very nice.
I'll tell you the story off the air. Because I don't want to go into a sob story on air, but.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll stop recording then. Keep everyone waiting. And now you're going to get accosted on Twitter to what was the tearjerker that you had to tell John Pollock?
There's no real tearjerker, but, hey, wait, did you stop recording or no?
That was Tom Lawler. Filthy Tom. Wow. Have not heard from that man in a while.
Mm-hmm.
He's been very quiet.
He has, but I'm sure, spending a lot of time watching wrestling.
Always following wrestling.
He's a middleweight.
He is a middleweight. Going to go up to a light heavyweight for his last fight in July. He was going to be on that Dublin, Ireland card, but unfortunately suffered an injury, had to pull out of that fight with Ilir Latifi. So there you go. You got your update on Tom Lawler. Does plan to return in the near future. And yeah, if you have never heard Tom Lawler on one of our shows, like a gigantic follower of pro wrestling and specifically Japanese wrestling. I mean, he is up on everything. New Japan, All Japan, Pro Wrestling, Noah. I mean, just everything.
Mm-hmm.
He's an encyclopedia. Still what I remember most from that UFC 154 trip when we had just interviewed 5,000 people. And then there's Tom Lawler, who we started discussing Raw. And I had no idea about his interest in pro wrestling, much less that he was aware of our show.
Yeah, you wouldn't have known until the weigh-ins when he came out as the Shockmaster.
Right, yeah, we had no clue he was going to be doing that at the weigh-ins.
To this day, like, one of the most memorable moments I've had covering MMA. This very obscure character showing up at a UFC weigh-ins.
I enjoyed the reaction from people online who, like, you either got that or you totally didn't get it.
Oh, yeah. And there are plenty of people.
People legit there. Thinking this guy just tripped.
Yeah. Like, and what was so memorable was that, like, we just happened to be sitting. It was you, myself, Kyle Edwards.
Oh, Kyle.
Kyle Edwards, and Jason Agnew. And, like, we might have been the only people there who understood.
Helwani got it.
Helwani, yeah. Too, yeah.
Yeah. It was weird because, like, it was – I know it was really loud there, but I was constantly, like, yelling down the aisle, like, Kyle, Kyle. And he wouldn't turn his head. He didn't even respond to it. I'm like, man, what's he – why is he big-timing us? Kyle Edwards.
Big year for him. Big year for a friend.
Yeah, he was born in June. I mean, what he's done in 6 months is incredible.
Yeah.
So, very good for him. Very happy for Kyle Edwards. Next up. Wow, Wei. I think Tom Lawler has just gone to town on people.
He's cleared house. He's getting the Superman push here.
He's Roman Reignsing it in that ring as we speak. Well, we might get some backup with our next entrant, a man who is making his return after injury, after going dark for a number of weeks, a man we haven't heard from in quite some time. He is our latest entrant into the Review Away Royal Rumble.
It's all right. It's all right. Yeah, it's about a 6 out of 10.
All right, next, Mr. Ting, a reunion of sorts with you and Nate Milton here on Christmas morning. Merry Christmas, Nate.
Merry Christmas, John Pollock and Wei Ting. It's been too long, my friend.
I know. I've missed you. This is like a family member that I only see around Christmas time.
Yeah, I know. I think people think that that there's a genuine feud between you and me, but it's not. This is not the blacks and the Asians and do the right thing where we're beefing at the street corner. It's just, you know, time and circumstances. But it's a Christmas miracle that you and I get to talk again, because I miss you, Wei.
Likewise. I mean, I don't know why people would think that. I mean, I have nothing against you. I have nothing against anybody. It's just circumstances.
You say that with such authority, Wei. No one's making any accusations here about your feelings towards Nate or vice versa.
Nate says people are.
Hey, Nate, we recently hung out with your co-host, Marcus Vanderberg, who gave us a great Christmas present, Tim Hortons gift certificates.
Yes, he mentioned that.
What did you get us?
He went up to see you guys. I guess the Yahoo's got a hockey office up there, so he was enjoying some hockey north of the border, which is just the most random thing in the world, a black guy from L.A. going to Canada to watch a Kings game. But, yeah, he said he had a good time, and he enjoyed hanging out with you watching the pay-per-view a couple weeks ago.
Now, what's the last month been like for you, Nate, with no impact? What's this void been like, not having to watch the show every week? I mean, do you miss impact? Are you jonesing for it to return on January the 7th?
I got to say, I miss impact. I think I'm actually getting excited about the prospect. Even though I still don't have Destination America, I'm excited about this network and their plans, because it sounds like they're going all in with this thing. Like, was the first day they're doing a marathon or something like that?
Yes.
It's like they like, we all we got, you know. It's like an officer and a gentleman. What was that scene where Louis Gossett Jr. is telling Richard Gere, you know, why don't you just quit? Why don't you just go? And Richard Gere is like, because I got nowhere else to go. I got nowhere else to go. And it's like, that's TNA and Destination America. Like, they are all they have, and they're going to cling to each other in this codependent relationship and see if it works, which I hope it works just for, you know, for the business in general. So, yeah, I'm excited about the Impact coming back.
Well, I have some concerns, Nate, because just this past Monday, I got this press release from Destination America announcing
that it was adding TNA Wrestling's greatest matches to its weekend lineup of wrestling programming. It will be an hour-long show every single Saturday. And then in listing some of the episodes that will be airing, we have on January 10th, the best of Sting, the best of Kurt Angle, great. The following Friday, 9 a.m., the best of Ron Van Dam. Good old Ron, five-star Ron, a whole hour to him.
I miss Ron Van Dam. He's pretty good.
Ron Van Dam, very, very underrated.
Wow.
Now, I don't think we really, do we not even really know the full rosters of the new TNA at the moment?
I mean, they've made announcements of who will be at the tapings, but there's a number of guys that are kind of just up in the air whose deals were up, and we don't quite know for sure. And we don't even know how many of these talents are going to be exclusive. I mean, I think TNA, they're going to have to kind of waive that for a lot of these guys, allow them to work outside dates and not have the control over them they once did.
I'm assuming, you know, that it won't be as star-studded as, you know, even the existing, the last time we saw TNA. So my question for you, Nate, is who do you think will be sort of somebody that'll kind of step up to that main event scene?
That's interesting. Like, I think that TNA should pretty much be a TV product, almost like Lucha Underground right now. Like, don't worry about house shows. Don't worry about telling guys, hey, you can't, you know, work with this company or this company, you know. Just focus on your TV show. Have about 10 guys that you kind of build the show around, and everybody else is kind of a moving part, a character that comes in and goes out. I definitely think Bobby Roode is a guy that you build around. I'd love to see him do more with Austin Aries. I think he's a guy that they dropped the ball with over the past year or so. EC3 is a guy that, you know, we talked about a lot last year. You know, he's a guy that is somebody that I'm glad TNA didn't fold, because I don't know if there would be a place for him on a major TV program if they weren't around, because I just think he's a really good character. I want to see what MVP does, because last year, for those that don't remember, you know, he was the one that was pretty much set to be the champion, got hurt, and then we got last year's champ, which actually worked out maybe better, but I'd be interested to see what MVP does this coming year. So there's a couple guys that I would build around. Low-key is definitely a guy that I would lock down, because, no pun intended, maybe it's a Christmas pun, but low-key is a guy that I think, you know, has always, maybe due to his own temperament, been given a short shrift of things, and it's like, man, this is your time, low-key. I want to hear that deep bass voice on Destination America as one of TNA's top guys, and I want to see them branch off into, like, different shows with, like, low-key just kind of traveling America and maybe going to restaurants or theme parks, and I want a show like that, like low-key at Disneyland.
You should be programming this network, Nate.
Like, I just want to see, like, low-key at the Pirates of the Caribbean exhibit. Did you know?
I think you've given this way more thought than you're just riffing off the top of your head here. I feel that there's an actual, like, plan on paper for you of low-key traveling the world. I'm trying to think of a name.
It would like be the Warrior Weekend. Like, every weekend, low-key would just go to a different destination and just... Right now, we're at Knott's Berry Farm in San Diego, California.
Well, as we wrap up here, Nate, I want to finish off, because we've been asking people biggest stories of the year, but I wanted to ask you specifically about the TNA leaving Spike TV, how important that news story was this year, and what it ultimately means for TNA, because I think we can paint up Destination America as much as we want. They can have 8,000 shows a week on Destination America. It's a giant hit to go from Spike TV to Destination America. And last night on Christmas Eve, the final wrestling ever to air on Spike TV, at least for now, with a wonderful midnight to 2 a.m. airing of the best TNA moments.
Yeah, kind of fitting in a way that the Spike era ended not with a bang, but with a quiet, silent whimper. But yeah, I think it's a really big story, because not just for TNA, which is obviously, you know, even though I think Destination America is a channel that's going to be behind them, that's invested, it's not the same. And it's a bad sign for just wrestling in general, even outside of TNA, because, you know, maybe the biggest story this year was TV related, whether you're talking about Spike and TNA, whether you're talking about the failures of the WWE network. You know, it's not like it was in the 90s. This is not a time period where a wrestling show can just find an audience on any network. You know, the networks aren't interested. Turner's not in the game anymore. Spike's out of the game. You know, it's really basically USA for the WWE and then whatever fringe network you can find if you're Lucha Underground or TNA, ROH, whatever. So losing Spike is a big deal for TNA and for the industry. I'm just glad they found something to kind of fall back on. Granted, it's not as nice as it was, but, you know, sometimes you don't get the big present, John. Sometimes you got to take a small present and make it work. Like I could tell you from my past, there were many years I wanted the Nintendo Entertainment System, and all I had was the Atari 7800. And you got to do the best you can, John, and play those 7800 games and make yourself believe that it's a Nintendo Entertainment System. I might not. It's just as good.
Well, Nate, sometimes you get robbed, sometimes you get Ron. You just got to roll with the punches and make do with what has been given to you. But thank you very much for joining us on our Christmas special. You have a wonderful Christmas and a great New Year, and we will chat with you in the New Year.
Oh, thank you, brothers. And, Way, good to talk to you again, my friend. We shouldn't wait so long next time.
Yeah, we should hang out. You should come by sometime.
I mean, I will have no problem dressing up like an elf. I'll be the black elf in your crew, man. So if you need an elf next year, call your boy.
Maybe yeah. We'll get you and Conan next year. We're recruiting.
Oh, this could go so many different ways, fellas.
All right, Nate. Have a great holiday, and we'll chat with you soon. Thanks very much.
Thanks. You too, fellas. Merry Christmas.
Always good to hear from Nate Milton. Mm-hmm. A reunion of sorts.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I feel like Nate and I, we always have a bond, even though we don't really talk.
I think Nate has a bond with everybody.
True. He's just a very likable guy.
A nice, likable person.
What's going on, everybody?
He's just so welcoming.
Brother Nate, or Brother Ting.
Brother Ting.
Brother Pollock.
He doesn't talk in the third person, so that's always good. Busy down there in Virginia. Man, I'm getting excited about this Christmas song contest and some of these entries. Did you go ahead and listen to any of them?
None.
Good. I'm excited to hear the renditions. We started off very strong with that song off the top.
We did, including coming up, maybe even Nate's favorite band, Braxton Witherspoon and the Smart Marks, coming up with an entry.
I have only read the title, and the title has got me very jacked for this particular song. He has set the bar high for himself in the past. Nate is like actually was part of a singing group.
Oh, yeah. He's very talented.
All these things you learn about people. Maybe Braxton Witherspoon and the Ting family could all put together like a...
Yeah.
The Pepsi 30-second commercial for the Super Bowl next year.
Yeah.
That'd be a lot of fun.
We'll get on that.
Yeah. Well, I have very little to add to that.
No, I don't have to add anything. How many more entrants do we have?
We still have four entrants to go, including
my God.
The surprise entrant at the end of the show. There's a surprise entrant making his debut.
Wow.
Any ideas?
I have no clue. No clue whatsoever.
It's not going to be Rey Mysterio.
Okay.
Drawing the final number. Come out and boo. It's not going to be Batista.
What would you say, John, is your highlight professionally this year? What was the best, coolest thing you did this year for work?
Boy. Well, I've got to up that confidence level, I guess. Man, I'm having a hard...
You had a great year. Did a lot this year.
I guess so. I'm trying to think right now.
What were some things? The rap video being...
of course.
Being mentioned at Jim Ross's thing.
Yep.
The Q&A.
Yep.
Which you hosted.
Lots of people learning about that.
Yeah.
The rap video. That was a lot of fun, working with Jim Ross on his shows, both in... New Orleans, and then here in Toronto. Those were fun shows to do. I enjoyed that. To be honest, as I'm thinking about it now, I think my favorite show we did all year was the live show in New Orleans.
That's right.
I love doing that.
Yeah.
We've been kind of slow on the ball planning next year's one because last year we were so spoiled. I mean, we met Dustin, who like a year prior contacted us about doing this and took care of everything for us. And it was like we pretty much just, you know, we planned out the show. We had to, you know, set up some audio equipment and boom, it was done. This year it's all on us. San Jose has been less accommodating. But yeah. That is my goal over the holidays, is to finalize all that. We are planning to do a live show because I have been emailed from different fans that are traveling there that are hoping we do another one. So we are planning to do another one. It's simply we have to find out where we're going to be and then just find a place, hopefully, in the hotel we're at that we can do it again like last year. Because last year, I don't think could have gone better. It was just a great setup, a great turnout, which you and I had no clue. It's like, man, how many people are going to show up to this? It's like, it's WrestleMania weekend. There's a million things to do in the city. Are people going to take 2 hours out of their weekend to come listen to a podcast? And they did. It was a ton of fun. That would be my favorite, maybe my favorite event of the year.
It might actually be mine, too.
No, and I was sick, too. I was losing my voice the night prior. Mm. I was getting very sick. I was sick for like a week after that.
That's too bad, because we had such great food in New Orleans. New Orleans was just great.
Yeah, we ate all over the place, except for that one place.
Oh, Mother's.
Oh, Mother's.
Oh, man.
Motherfuckers.
Those Mother's fuckers.
The only place. What ended up happening? We got, there was our meal.
You left. You just, like, you didn't even finish your food. You just left.
Peyton just left.
Yeah, because it took a long time. Like, they forgot your order, basically. Yes. And I already finished my food. And then you got your order, and it was all cold.
It was brutal. Just a horrible, horrible place.
But the rest of New Orleans is great.
The rest of New Orleans was fantastic.
Yeah, crawfish, po' boy sandwiches.
No matter where we go, my go-to meal is ribs. I think they're the best.
Yeah, you do love ribs. We should head to the Electric Mud.
We do need to go to Electric Mud. We have not been there.
No, we haven't.
You've never gone?
Never.
Yeah, I would love to go there.
Okay, let's do it.
Right now?
Yeah.
Christmas. Well, we got some more entrants here.
Okay.
All right. The countdown clock has commenced. It's time to find out who is our latest entrant as we're getting down to the final entrance of the Review Away Royal Rumble. Hey, where are you going?
To all husbands with the same interests. Bow your heads as the Lord's mentioned.
Our next guest here on the special Review Away Christmas edition of the show. He is a man you hear every single Wednesday with myself. He is Court Bauer, joining us on Christmas morning. Court, how are you?
Great, man. I'm still wearing my Christmas PJs here.
How is Christmas in the Bauer household? What now? You have kids. What is the big item this year? What is the big desired want for the kids these days for Christmas 2014?
Well, we got the big hits this year were the Nintendo DS, 3DS, and iPad minis. We've moved on from action figures and dolls to give me the tech, Dad. Give me the good stuff, Mom. So, gifts are a little bit more expensive as they get older, but those are the big hits this year in the Bauer house. I wanted a hoverboard. No one got it for me.
I love how TVs just get bigger and bigger, yet like portable devices just get smaller and smaller. It's like the mini version of this. It's just smaller, compact. But when it comes to that old-fashioned TV, it's 80,000 inches or more.
Well, I mean, I thought the same, but look at like the iPhone 6, iPhone 6 Plus. They're like fucking huge now. And I don't understand why phones are getting bigger. I liked when things were getting smaller when it came to the phones. You look at like the iPhone 4 versus the iPhone 6. It looks freaking microscopic in comparison. So I don't get that. I can't fit like my iPhone 6 barely in my pocket. If I had an iPhone 6 Plus, I don't know what I'd do with it. I'd have to like get a backpack or something.
Now, people are obviously noticed that
when Court was coming up on the show, yes. Wei decided to go take a washroom break.
Yes.
So he's left the room as we speak.
Just like he,
what's happened here, Court?
I don't know, man. It's his silence on the issue of unfollowing me and now not participating in the Christmas special. It's not very Christmas-like of him. But maybe in the new year we could resolve this. It might lead to some sort of jiu-jitsu challenge going down. We might have to enter a grappling tournament to settle this.
Oh, that would be a battle of blue belts. This would be an interesting one. I'll call it. and then we'll put it on YouTube. It'd be great. What a an inter-promotional battle here. Wei Ting representing the law against MLW's Court Bauer. This thing could be huge. We could put this on iPay-per-view.
Well, here's the problem though. How much is Wei weigh?
Yeah, that's true. The man is he's a lightweight.
140?
I believe his tournament, he competed at 145 pounds, I think.
Holy shit.
You're at least 155, I think.
I clocked in, today at 215, and that's with some, you know, some good Christmas food in me, but 215. So we're talking about a weight difference. Now, if he whooped my ass, shit, he goes from what was he in third place or second place? He goes right to first place with that medal, I'll tell you right now.
Bronze medal, yeah. Bronze medal.
So he gets a gold medal if he can whip my ass. And I have had my ass whipped by guys about that size rolling, so it wouldn't be the first time. In fact, one time, in the writer's room, there was a fantastic, fantastic jiu-jitsu practitioner named Rudy Fishman. And we had a little bit, you know, you get a little crazy in this room. There was no windows. You have the locked door and you come and go. And so really a lot of things can go down in a room that no one can see into. And one day we decided to have an impromptu grappling tournament. And I'm like, this little fucker, I'm so much bigger than him physically that I'm just going to smother this guy. I'm thinking like the Brock Lesnar mentality that I'm so much bigger. I'm just going to get this guy down and just get something on him and he's going to tap. Let me tell you what happened.
Oh, man.
I went to take him down, and this fucker was like a monkey. He leaped onto one arm and, like, wrapped around me, and before I knew it, I was going backwards, and I was like, and I'm thinking, well, good. This is like a tree fall. I'm going to squish him. No, he then just gripped tighter and just was like, I could barely breathe. I was like, tap, 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 and that was it. Rudy Fishman tapped me out in the writer's room, and it was awesome, and it was one of the highlights of my time in the creative team, and definitely learned a valuable lesson that you just got to watch out because you never know. Those little guys, man, they can just move around so quickly, and he was more experienced than I, no doubt about it. In fact, he opened up a jiu-jitsu school out in California, and so I was definitely dealing with a guy with a lot more technique, a lot more years under his belt, and it showed, man. He whooped my ass good.
I can't believe this story didn't come out when this happened. Big fight in the writer's room. This would have been a headline anywhere.
It was a gentlemanly contest, but it was a fun time. It was a good time, and
Did he ever challenge Paul Heyman, the Jew in jiu-jitsu?
I don't think Paul has ever competed in anything athletically. I don't think it would go very well. He'd make me look like
they're gonna put out a Paul Heyman jiu-jitsu shirt.
No,
I'm positive.
No. Vince thinks that any of that stuff gets like it's like something out of Mad Max. It's like, you know, people die, their heads explode from it. You don't do that stuff. I don't think Vince will do it. And if they did, you know, WWE wouldn't even know how to spell jiu-jitsu, even the J-E-W version.
Yeah, that shirt might not go over too well. Imagine Vince McMahon just wandering into a jiu-jitsu school to get a handle on this big craze that all his writers are talking to him about, jiu-jitsu. getting Vince McMahon in a gi, seeing what his takedowns are like, what his submission game's like, getting those hooks in,
well,
teaching him, you know, some half guard technique.
Straight up, Vince will tell you firsthand, he is no athlete. And I think he might have alluded to it with the Austin podcast they did on the WWE Network. You know, when he would throw punches, he would just connect like Terry Funk because, and Terry was a great athlete in his day, but Vince just knew that his shit was going to look so bad. If he didn't connect, it would be just horrible. So everyone he worked, from Austin to just about anyone, he was potatoing the shit out of them because he just was just not a natural athlete. On top of that, I think Vince being a major germaphobe, that would make Howard Hughes look like normal. I just don't think him rolling on that mat, his brain would overload. I don't think it would go well.
The mention of staph infection would be it for Vince.
Holy shit. And just think about that locker room dynamic. Do you think he'd shower? I actually think he would shower.
Maybe that's the whole reason he built a gym at Titan Towers. His own secluded area where he can maintain the strangers that might wander in to use this equipment. Maybe that's what it all comes down to. You can't imagine Vince McMahon signing up for like a YMCA membership and just going down the street somewhere.
Oh, he trains at like the hotel gyms. He trains at the WWE gym when there's other people there. And it's so funny. Like, I remember when they took me on the tour when I signed with WWE, it's like, okay, this is, you know, the cafeteria, this is the creative area, this is the TV studios. They take you up to the gym, I'm like, oh, this is the fucking gym. I remember the Ico Pro commercials, I remember Lex Luger doing the coming soon vignettes from this gym. I think they even hosted a show, Livewire once in a while from the gym. The WBF show that was briefly on Hat was, I think that was from the gym. So you go in this place and it has not fucking changed from like 1988. It has like the funky neon, like electric lighting and everything. It has like these, you know, pastel colors and shit, but it's seen better days. And he's like, oh, we have a jacuzzi, but it hasn't worked in some time. We don't really talk about it. I'm like, oh, okay. And then you go around and you see like the locker room and it's got a terrible funk to it and everything. Like, it's something like, it literally feels like you're just falling into a different time. I understand in the last year or two, they actually have upgraded it. Hopefully they still keep the tacky 80s vibe to the place, but Vince would once in a while, you know, stumble into the place and train. But I always remember seeing like they had like this like very typical corporate kind of thing, like join us for 12 o'clock Pilates. I'm like, I'd love to like see who's in that class, because Vince just taking like a lunch break is frowned upon by Vince. So who's doing fucking Pilates? It must be like the HR department or something, because Vince, if he walked in there saw like a group of people doing Pilates, I can't imagine it'd go over well. You're not getting fast tracked if you're doing Pilates. However, if you were benching, that's a viable reason to take a break. He would probably love you. And I understand actually, you know, that would happen. Like he'd see someone in there that's lifting. He's like, God, you know, what's going on? How much can you lift? And all of a sudden, like you have an opportunity to bullshit with the chairman. And for a lot of people, that was a rare opportunity. So I guess there's some
merit. They did that on Legends House, a Pilates show. Maybe Howard Finkel runs the class.
Howard Finkel was like legendary when it came to softball. He was on every softball team because they play like other companies in Stanford. Like everyone had like their own like softball team, and he was the man at softball. And there was like a trophy room, or not room, but there's like this display case on, I think it was the second floor, right near the cafeteria, where they had all the trophies and years of pictures with it. The team's changed, but Howard's always there, just kind of getting a little bigger, a little bit paler and balder, but Howard's there, and he's like, he was like their Derek Jeter. He was like probably on the team in 86, and in 2007 he was still on the team. So Howard Finkel, like their all-star softball player.
Man, if only Sid could stick around. I mean, he might have threatened Howard Finkel for that captain position on the softball team. But as we round out things here on the Christmas Show, Court, we've been asking all of our guests.
Yes.
You know, 2014 was a rather, I feel, important year in MMA, in pro wrestling. But the biggest story of the year, what comes to mind for you? Because we saw a lot happen this year, from the network, TNA off Spike. We've got all these kind of secondary promotions with television in 2015. Mm-hmm. Antitrust lawsuit in the UFC. Right. Lots of big stuff when you actually look back at the past 12 months.
Yeah, the Vince CM Punk podcast feud. I didn't think both of them would be doing podcast feuding, but this is the era we live in. I really don't know. I think WWE's story is probably up there because it just impacted their business across the board, and it's going to change the complexion of the company in 2015 and what you're going to do for your big marquee shows like WrestleMania. Can you afford The Rock if his schedule permits? What do you do about Brock Lesnar and re-upping? They haven't done that yet. And I thought that after right before WrestleMania, and you decide that you want to go forward with beating Undertaker, you probably want to have Brock Lesnar under a contract, because that's the kind of guy that you're basing a lot of your future around by that decision. And if he's not committed to being a big part of your future beyond just 2015 or 2014, do you really want to go in that direction? And I would say you really want to question that. And is it worth the risk for a short-term return? And they haven't signed him. It's the end of 2014 and they have yet to sign him. So that network thing really changed the complexion of WWE. And I think it's going to change a lot of other people. I mean, look, New Japan World now coming into the picture with their own streaming service that's available worldwide. We'll see. You know, El Rey, another interesting story getting into wrestling with Lucha Underground. A lot of interesting question marks going into 2015, the viability of some of these new groups. What's going to happen with Destination America and TNA? Is that going to be a viable place? Is it going to be a place that embraces TNA and helps shoot them off to the moon and really gives them that platform to be all they can be? We don't know. It will be able to bring in international deals that weren't available to TNA like they've promised. We'll see. Will New Japan continue to make strides as they try to up their profile in North America in 2015? I don't know. I think there's a good indication that if everything goes well on January 4th, that they will continue marching down that road. A lot of interesting stories. I can't imagine what's on the horizon in 2015, but we do know that CM Punk is going to fight in Octagon. We do know that WrestleMania is going to be on the network and what's going to happen as a result of that in terms of their bottom line. And just a lot of interesting things at play. How's TNA going to end up? What's the second season of Lucha Underground going to look like? Is Alberto Del Rio going to join Lucha Underground? What's the future of Rey Mysterio? He's been kind of like in this weird purgatory within WWE forever. Will Dolph Ziggler get finally that big consistent push that a lot of people had hoped for, but there's been a stop and go thing? Is Cesaro really held back by being Swiss? All these questions will be answered in 2015, hopefully, or not.
Those pressing questions. If someone who is Swiss can get over at the top level in the WWE. Court, we always thank you for the time. Each week you can hear myself and Court both at liveaudiowrestling.com and mlwradio.com. The show drops every Wednesday afternoon. And Court, enjoy the rest of your Christmas day, and we will chat with you in the new year. Thanks very much.
All right, man.
So what's the deal? Yourself and Court. Is there some issues going on here?
There is no deal. I've explained to Court, explained to everybody. I just want to spend less time on Twitter. That's all.
But you don't even partake in the discussion here. Did you really have to go to the washroom at that time for that amount of time?
I went to get ribs. You're talking about ribs. Of course, I had to just go.
I thought you went to the washroom.
Court Bauer went to Electric Mud. He knows what it's all about.
That's true. I'm sure Court can understand you picking Electric Mud over him.
Yeah. I went to get ribs, and then I went to the
As long as there's no electric mud slinging between you two.
No. I love Court.
I just want to keep a happy dialogue between you two.
No, Court, come on. You kidding me? Is he going to be at WrestleMania this year?
I don't know, to be honest. He might be. Hmm. We'll find out. I think a bunch of people are kind of just up in the air if they will be there. Are you excited to go back, being that you've been to San Francisco and you raved about going there? We're going to be in the Bay Area.
Love San Francisco. Yeah, I'm very excited. I mean, it's not just San, like, it's kind of far from San Francisco, though, isn't it?
How far is it?
Isn't it, like, in Silicon Valley? Like,
I think stuff is scattered all over the place. I mean, technically, WrestleMania, I believe, is Santa Clara.
Okay.
I don't have my bearings straight.
I think everything's at least, like, 2 hours apart. But, I mean, we'll still have time to go and see the city, I think.
Hope so.
Anybody who goes to San Francisco this year or goes to WrestleMania, if you do make it out to San Francisco, you got to go to Twin Peaks. Twin Peaks.
What's Twin Peaks?
It's just like the highest point of San Francisco. You could drive up there or cab up there, and it's just like the most spectacular view of any city you'll see.
Wow. Is that what the show is based on?
I think so. I don't know.
I've never watched Twin Peaks, but I'm told I should definitely watch it.
Yeah.
What shows are you watching right now? Anything?
I was watching I just started Game of Thrones.
Just
started the first episode.
Are you going in with high expectations? Because that's what I find when people rave about shows. Mm-hmm. You go in and it's almost like you're putting pressure on yourself to get into it right away. And sometimes it's the opposite of it. That's how I was with Sons of Anarchy. That's how I was with Breaking Bad. Mm-hmm. It took me some time to get into them.
Right. Are you finished Breaking Bad, by the way?
No.
How could you not have finished it? I couldn't stop. I couldn't stop once I started.
I took a break and I just never went back. Maybe I will over the holiday. I've got a clean slate. Now that Sons of Anarchy is done, Newsroom is done, those are my two shows, so I have two vacancies. And Breaking Bad, that will be my goal over the holidays, like, is to finish Breaking Bad.
That's such a... It's like saying my goal is to really enjoy my life this holiday, which I guess for some people can be a goal. But I mean, Breaking Bad, I had to watch the next episode so badly that I just decided to read spoilers because it was taking up so much time and I just couldn't like invest that much time into it.
That doesn't sound like enjoying your life. That sounds like it's a project. It's a task that you must get done.
It kind of became a task, but I really enjoyed the task. Anyway, Game of Thrones, I kind of went in. Yeah, I'm kind of going with elevated expectations. At the same time, I kind of found the first episode a little tough to watch. Often first episodes are kind of tough to watch, though, because it's all exposition. You're not really invested in any of the characters yet. So there's really not much to... You know, sometimes it does kind of feel like work. So I watched the first episode. I'm not big into, like, you know, all the old like any type of old mythological types of settings. Like, I hate...
Yeah, I'm not a fan either.
Hate Lord of the Rings. Don't watch that stuff. But
did you see any of the 9 hours of The Hobbit?
No, I didn't. I didn't even see... I watched 9 minutes of the first Lord of the Rings and I gave up. So no, I didn't see that. But Game of Thrones, I think I'll stick through just because, it seems very, like, just the reactions I hear about some of the unconventional things that the show does, killing off so many main characters, I think it could be interesting, so I'm willing to stick it out for a little bit.
The clock is ticking. Two more entrants coming in, and they are just about to come through and down the aisle. And we're going far away for these entrants, the international entrants.
Christmas, everybody. Oh, this is me injecting lots of humor and lots of sort of ginkiness into my voice, because this is definitely the first time we've tried to record this, isn't it, WH?
Yes, this is not the second time we're attempting to record this Christmas message.
Listen to this. Those are my Christmas presents. What Christmas presents did you get, WH?
I got a new... nothing. I don't really care about Christmas.
Oh,
but Merry Christmas, everyone. I hope everyone else enjoys their Christmas. I hope everyone enjoys watching lots of amazing Japanese wrestling. If you're looking for a gift, maybe someone can gift you a subscription to a streaming service for the best Japanese wrestling in the world.
Yeah, of course. If you get the WWE Network, you can watch Taka Michinoku against Takushi, probably.
Amazing. Did that happen? I don't think that happened.
Oh, okay.
Not in WWE.
What was the best match between two Japanese guys on WWE?
I don't think it exists.
Oh, man.
Between two Japanese guys?
Yeah.
On WWE television?
Yeah. Sasuke definitely.
Well, Sasuke and Taka.
Yeah, there you go.
Both at Canadian Stampede and on the Raw the following day. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Great Suzuki, as JR calls. And you're here, JR, mangle Japanese names again in just 2 weeks on pay-per-view. It's going to be Wrestle Kingdom 9. That's the real Christmas present, folks. That's the real excitement. Actually, no, the real excitement is Christmas for me. I love Christmas. I've spent all of today, which is definitely Christmas Day today. That is what today is. I spent all of today cooking because the boy was in nursery. I took my boy to nursery school while my wife was working on Christmas morning so that I could cook a really nice Christmas dinner.
Amazing.
Yeah. That's how
it's good that you're spreading cultural awareness among your family here in Japan.
Yeah, sprouts. That's Coach Moranis, man. At these tiny little cabbages, everybody hates them. You gotta eat them, it's the law. That went out. Do you have sprouts? Do people eat sprouts at Christmas in Canada?
No, I think we're pretty traditional, like the stuffing and the turkey.
And sprouts.
Various vegetables. It's great.
I like sprouts, actually.
I'm a big fan of everything green, actually.
Ooh, what about okra?
Okra. Ah, oh, except okra.
Yeah, okra's vile.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah. It's like, but it's in the same, it's in the natto family, right, of like slimy foods that, foods should not be slimy.
Hmm. Well, I don't mind natto so much. I actually quite enjoy eating it, so.
Anyways. It's disgusting.
Might be my Christmas dinner, actually.
Really? Natto?
Oh, I don't. Yeah, just rice and natto, some miso soup. I'm very healthy these days for my breakfast.
My first time, we read, I hate natto, my wife hates natto. First time, we gave natto to my son because we heard that was really good. I mean, it's good for you, natto, and we heard like it's very good for babies. First time we gave it to him, like, it stinks going in, and by God, it stank going out for like ages, and it just happened to be that he was in the mood to, like, I'm not going to have my nappy changed, like, sensibly. I'm going to roll around in it and make sure it gets, and, like, it got on my hand, and my hand, like, stank, like, it was, like, you know, it was the telltale heart, or, like, you know, it was, like, out damn stain. It was, like, Macbeth, for fuck's sake. Like, you couldn't get, like, the stink of natto shit off my hand, like, no matter how hard I scrubbed.
Such a festive conversation for the Christmas edition of the show.
Everyone. Oh, your next present is a better segment than this one. It's back to John and Wave. Hey!
Chris Charlton and W.H. Park with us. And that is notable because that does set up next week's show, Mr. Ting, which you will be a part of in a form and fashion, but we will get to that later. But next week, instead of review away, it's going to be the first ever preview away. It's going to be myself, Chris Charlton, and W.H. Park, and we are going to be previewing Wrestle Kingdom 9. We're going to be chatting about the entire card, a lot of the highlights from New Japan over the past year, many of the stories going into it. This will be your primer to get ready for Wrestle Kingdom 9. If you're on the fence about getting the show, whether you want to get it or not, we're going to at least chat about the past year of New Japan and look ahead to the card on January the 4th, which should be a tremendous card. So we'll be chatting about that next week, and we will be joined by Scott D'Amore of Global Force Wrestling. He'll be discussing the card, his involvement with Jeff Jarrett, and many of the stories attached to that. So that's next week.
Preview away. I don't know why we didn't come up with that earlier.
Yeah, well, there's not too many events that really warrant it. But
true.
I think for Wrestle Kingdom 9, it's a good jumping on point for many people. It's very accessible. So who better than W.H. Park and Chris Charlton to preview the show with us?
The Jaw.
One of my favorite podcasts, period. I would say that even if it wasn't part of the live audio wrestling family of shows. I love listening to their shows every month. Very insightful minds. And joining us, no less, for the review away Royal Rumble. It's been quite the lineup we've had so far.
I know.
All over the place.
Actually,
former writers.
Chris Charlton is an actual pro wrestler.
Yes, he's done wrestling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, as opposed to everybody. Like, sorry guys, this match hasn't been very good. I haven't seen much technical wrestling out of, you know.
Yeah, Tom Lawler's worked things well. He managed trained, a team to tag gold in 2014.
That's right.
Come on. He's the spiritual guider of Red Dragon.
Mm-hmm. But Chris Charlton, look at the flying head scissors. And
oh, he's doing all his stuff he's learned from watching DDT over the past 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So some interesting stuff.
I'd love to watch one of his matches. We like to find out where.
Would he have been SMC material?
Oh, he would have. Yeah, I would have booked him as champion.
Can you give us a refresher about SMC?
No.
No, you don't have to post anything. All right, just a Cole's Notes for those that maybe have heard the initials that are new to the show.
SMC was the Backyard Wrestling Federation We never really wrestled in backyards, though. This was something my friends and I did in high school, where when I say backyard wrestling, it brings up a lot of sort of connotations about violence. But
there were no light tubes.
No, we were not violent at all. Like, it was some of the worst, wimpiest wrestling, if you could even call
it. I would have loved
that.
This.
But what we'd basically do is we'd find, like, old mattresses that people were throwing out on the side of the road. I mean, I guess this was before we even thought about bed bugs or anything like that, so we didn't think about any of that stuff. We'd just take, like, old mattresses, and we'd carry these things to the park. And, you know, like, the soccer posts at a park? Sometimes parks have, like, soccer posts. We'd use the soccer posts, and then we'd have, like, two bikes on the other opposite the soccer posts, and we'd just run tape around the soccer posts and the bikes to create a ring. And in the middle, we'd have a mattress. And then we would have matches. It was so lame.
And what was your role?
So lame. I was the booker and commentator. I was Vince.
Wow. And were you the sole booker?
No. I was the main booker. Like, I would write the storylines.
Oh, you really were Vince. You had veto power.
Yeah, yeah. But
you had your writers underneath you.
Yeah, yeah. My friend who came up with the SMC in the first place, he was the top star, and he would have some say too.
Oh, did you two ever? Did your philosophies ever cause a collision?
No,
that you know
no.
It was time for him to put the new guy over, and he was clashing with the booker. Threatening to go to the other territory in Scarborough?
No, not really, no. But, yeah, it was so stupid. It was so, so dumb. And I don't think any tapes exist anymore. So.
No, I know they do.
No, I don't think so.
They're somewhere. I've hired a detective, actually, that is looking into it. That is in your inner circle that you have no idea about.
No, I don't think so. I think the tapes were probably lost in the same archive where John's Audio Wrestling Show exists.
Those do exist.
Oh, those do exist.
They do exist.
Okay.
They'll ever see the light of day either.
Well, why don't you give us the Cole's notes about that?
John's Audio Wrestling Show, the most clever name for a show ever, was my show that I started with my friend Sean, and I didn't want it to be called that.
How old were you?
14. 14, 15, around that time. So we're talking 98, 99. And I started with my friend Sean, who was just very new to wrestling. But this dude was a whiz with computers at a time when, like, the internet was still relatively new to all of us. I mean, I only got the internet the end of 98. So websites were kind of new. And my friend here, he had this ability. He could build websites. He had no problem recording stuff, getting it up there. And I was just like, man, I could never figure this out. I mean, I could never figure, you know, talking into a microphone and getting it onto the internet and people would download it. I mean, that's just not my thing.
No.
So thankfully, I had my friend Sean and we did this show together. And then
how'd you put the audio up? Like before there were podcasts, before there was even the bandwidth.
We would record it and I can't even properly tell you, but I think it was we recorded it on RealPlayer and then saved the audio. We even got, I don't even know how we did it, but we got guests where we had a cable from my parents' home phone into the computer, into a recording program, so we could actually have guests on. And we had like random writers from websites come on and we'd talk about different stuff. It would probably be horrendous by today's standards, but at the time,
sounds quite impressive for a 15-year-old. Like,
yeah, like I think, you know, it was done similar to just, you know, just talking about the industry essentially and different.
How would you start off the show?
I have no clue. Like, I've literally never gone back and listened to this.
Hello, everybody. My name is John Pollock. Welcome to. Come on.
Please. Right now, it's John Pollock, and right now I'm welcoming Sean because today on the show, we are going to get down to things right now because right now it's an interesting time in the business.
Yes.
Something like that.
Yes. But I think it's really cute. It's like, you know, John Cena.
That's a very pandering word to use.
What do you mean?
It's very cute.
I think it's adorable. It's like John Cena holding up.
That's another pandering word.
It's like John Cena holding up the world championship belt in that photo, except it's you. Now you're living your dream.
that you had.
You could make a video of me with a beautiful day underneath it. Or higher. Can you take me higher? From dial-up to high speed.
Uh-huh. Who's next, John? Who's next?
It's the big one.
Oh, our secret
entrant. Our final entrant.
Number 30.
Here he is, coming in and joining us on Christmas morning for the Review Away Royal Rumble. And Jim, a Merry Christmas to you there in Norman, Oklahoma.
Thanks, guys. Thanks. You too. Hope everybody's doing well there in your neck of the woods.
Yes. We wanted to definitely chat about the New Japan show that is coming up on January the 4th. We're just a couple days out at this point. I just wanted to go back, and when this offer first came your way, what was the deciding factor? I mean, you're certainly at a level right now. There's nothing out there you have to do. It's kind of you do pick and choose what you are going to do. Getting back into professional wrestling like this, what was the deciding factor for Jim Ross to be going to Tokyo?
That's a hard question to answer, actually. I really didn't have a lot of interest in when I first heard about it, because it was, to me, as a novice New Japan follower, it didn't push the right button. In other words, I was not so familiar with the product that I said, yeah, that would be great. That would be a pretty cool deal to do. To me, in the very beginning, it was a big wrestling show a long way away that you had to negotiate your fee for, and with a guy that I hadn't talked to since 1999.
That's right.
So my manager, Barry Bloom, started talking with Jeff Jarrett, and, you know, they came up with some interesting numbers and some interesting strategies on compensation and things of that nature. So it piqued my curiosity to learn more about the product, because, as you said, I'm not in a position right now, luckily, that I need to go to Japan to hit the grocery store, you know, but you always... I'm an entrepreneur. I'm an independent businessman. I like to look at different projects, look at different things. So I looked at it in that regard, John, and I started looking at New Japan matches on YouTube. And I'd never watched any iPay-per-views of theirs. So I was not the, and I'm admitting it, you know, I was not the devotee of New Japan. Not for any reason, just... there was plenty of wrestling on my TV as it was, and I kind of stayed with that pad hand. But I started watching New Japan, and I said, this is some great stuff. This reminds me of old-school, fundamentally sound, logical, physical wrestling. And so the more I watched, the more I became a fan of the brand, and then it made it easier to compromise on a quote-unquote deal to get me to do the show over there. So it was a major issue, because for about, 8-9 months, my wife and I had planned on going to Vegas that weekend to watch USC. It was also my 63rd birthday. It's on January 3rd. So it was kind of a birthday celebration, and, you know, you never know how many birthdays you're going to have, so you take advantage of it one good day at a time, and so we're going to go to Vegas, had that plan. And so I had to move a lot of things around. The birthday weekend was off. It's off the table. Not the greatest thing in the world for a married man. you're no honey, by the way. You're not going to Vegas to do any shopping or to go to a spa or whatever. But I'm going to fly to Japan, and you're staying home, so, you know. So that was how that worked. It was a little bit more, it was a unique set of circumstances. I didn't have to do the thing, but she knew that I had passion for, you know, kind of wanting to do another wrestling show. see how much fuel is left in the tank just for the hell of it. So I started, we made our deal. So I don't know, I think me looking at the product and enjoying what I saw was probably the deciding factor. It really wasn't the money. It really wasn't the deal. It was the opportunity to be the play-by-play guy at a major pay-per-view in a new environment for me, with all new talents for me, basically. So I think the seeing the New Japan product really, you know, flipped the switch to say, let's try to just get this done.
Now, Jim, I know on your travels, on that note, you do like to visit many of the, restaurants and places that you've been. You've given a very favorable review of Electric Mud Barbecue here with our friend Damien last time you were up here in Toronto.
Yeah, good.
Have you been to, in Tokyo, the Ribera Steakhouse? And if so, could you give a quick review of that?
I have never been there. Never been there. And I have seen about 1,000 Ribera jackets and T-shirts in my life. For the guys in the locker room, I'll have one on. Back in the days when a wrestler's uniform was a pair of Zubaz pants, flip-flops, and a T-shirt that somebody gave them.
A fanny pack. You know,
yeah, the fanny pack, exactly. Can't forget the fanny pack. And whatever you do, you don't want to look in there. And if you do look in there, you want to be wearing gloves. That's my opinion. Hey, 70s and the 80s were wild times.
Oh, they
and,
were.
And those fanny packs were, if those fanny packs could talk, that may be a good title for a book.
Oh, maybe you could sell that one, I think, no problem, JR.
Yeah, the fanny pack. The fanny pack diaries.
That's a hell of a title right there.
So, but I have never been their way. And some very well-known people that I won't mention because I don't want to embarrass them have contacted me about bringing them a T-shirt from Ribera Steakhouse. So I feel like I'm obligated to go there to shop so I can buy my buddies Ribera T-shirts. So I hope we get to make it on this trip. I don't know how much time we're going to have. You know, we leave on the 1st and we get there on the 2nd. And then on the 3rd, the day before the show, we have a press conference. I think there is a production walkthrough kind of deal, which is going to be really good and necessary. And then they have their version of WrestleMania Access that I think that we have to be a part of in some degree. So it's going to be a very busy day on the 3rd. And then, of course, the 4th is the show. And then the 5th, we're out of there. So I don't know where we're going to have ample free time to do a lot of things, but I really got to either go to Ribera or I got to send somebody there with some cash and have them buy some T-shirts.
Maybe exchange for some bottles of barbecue sauce.
Yeah, that's me trying to get the bottles of barbecue sauce to Tokyo is that's a major accomplishment. And, you know, the TSA people, the security people have a little issue with those liquids coming through security. Shipping is another, it's challenging. It's funny how some countries have issues. I can't sell beef jerky in the UK because they won't allow beef to be imported.
Wow.
Under that context. And it's probably the healthiest beef you can get because it's been, you know, it's jerky. It's not raw. But nonetheless, I'm looking forward to hopefully hitting Ribera for a meal, not just to send somebody there to do some shopping so I can make my buddies happy.
Last question, JR, and thank you so much for the time. As we're at the end of the year, you know, 2014 was a pretty big one when you look at, you know, the WWE Network launching, New Japan's expansion, TNA leaving Spike TV. What do you think was the biggest story of 2014, one that might have repercussions for years to come? Is there one story that comes to mind for you that was, above all else, the biggest one of the past 365 days?
Well, interesting question. I guess the WWE Network in wrestling in general is probably the biggest story, the most impactful story,
mm-hmm.
because it affects the entire pay-per-view model that everybody is is touched by in wrestling that are doing pay-per-views. I think the door opened for New Japan, for example, for their January 4th pay-per-view, because there's available airtime, promotional time, for cable companies and satellite companies to promote the event. With WWE not in that picture.
Right.
To any large degree. It opened up some avails and some available time. And I think WWE's future is largely dependent upon how the network grows. I think the digital side, Jeff Jarrett's company is thinking about this stuff as being a digital wrestling promotion. I think the digital is the way of the future, and so I think that the network theory, whether it be New Japan or WWE or whatever, there's a lot of big networks going to be doing this, has a future. I just think it may be, I think it's going to be like any other new. I remember when cable came about, and you had to make an adjustment. You had to get a guy in your house and install the cable, and cable wasn't available in the rural areas, and there's all kinds of things. And that was before satellite TV, I wonder if this is going to make it. And so obviously, yeah, it's pretty much going to make it. But now cable TV is getting challenged by this digital stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think the digital deal is going to be the way to go. When you can watch your favorite shows on your phone or your iPad or whatever, traveling or moving, not a bad thing. So I think the WWE Network was the biggest story of 2014 because of all the wrestling promotions that it affected directly or indirectly, and the fact that they were a little bit ahead of the curve on this new thing called a digital network. I watched their pay-per-view. The last pay-per-view they had was TLC, and I had, I sat in my office and watched it on my computer. And I got a pretty good-sized computer screen, and I was very, very content with sitting there watching the show. I got one of those Google Chrome jobs for my TV, but it doesn't hook up with their network. So I need to get the right equipment to watch the pay-per-views on my television. But I don't mind going to my office and shutting the door and watching the show and listening. So I think the network, guys, is the big thing, and it's going to affect a lot of things, how talent's paid, how they're exposed, stimulant of new programming being produced and developed, I think is really important. So it's going to be fun to watch how that evolves over time and the changes that it has and so forth. So I think that kind of takes the first place for me, and as it relates to everybody else.
Well, Wrestle Kingdom 9, it is coming up here in North America on January the 3rd. You can watch it live at 2 a.m. Eastern time, late on Saturday night, and then it's got a primetime showing at 7 p.m. on January the 4th. Available on pay-per-view, including here in Canada. You can also watch it on the Flips app. Jim Ross and Matt Stryker having the call, headlined by Hiroshi Tanahashi and Kazuchika Okada. Kota Ibushi taking on Shinsuke Nakamura. It's a solid lineup. And, of course, you can catch the Ross Report. It drops Tuesday nights on Podcast One. And he is on Twitter, at JRSBBQ. And, JR, the next time you're up in Toronto, me and Wei, we are going to take you to Electric Mud. And we will return for some barbecue on us.
That was a good spot. I mean, I would think it's one of those deals where it's kind of like one of those best-kept secrets. Electric Mud. They had good food. And I know barbecue. I've just eaten smoked meat all my life, but they do a great job, so it's good. I hope that we get to play Toronto again, and we can. I've always enjoyed coming up there. So many friends, and Ontario's always treated me very well. And I need to play. I get all the time asked, are you going to play Montreal? Are you going to play when you come back to Toronto? I need to get our people that are working on these scheduling things to get me more. Canadian dates, and because of the audience there, they've been very loyal and very kind to me over the years. So hopefully we'll get to do that, and we'll get to work together again, and and move on. And maybe one of these days we'll be setting up the broadcast together, John. You never know.
Oh, who knows? You never say never in this profession.
Never, no, you don't. You never say never. And never, hey, you just keep those bridges clear and healthy. And that's what I've realized is that, you know, I want to do projects that are fun and don't feel like I'm going to work. And that's kind of why I think maybe I'm so busy right now. I'm having a lot of fun. So now I may change my tune on that flight back from Tokyo. I may be some god of my tires. You know, so it'll be good. It'll be a fun show, and I'm looking forward to Wrestle Kingdom 9. I think it's going to be good. It's going to be an adventure. And when you do live TV, it's there for everybody to hear. So, you know, no net. So I like that. I like that adrenaline rush you get from no net. And
if nothing else, it's a chapter in the book.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be good.
I want to thank you so much. Again, a Merry Christmas from both Wei and I, and thank you so much for stopping by. It was great, and we're going to be watching. Me and Wei are watching it live here at 2 a.m. We're going to be watching.
That doesn't surprise me. somebody asked me the other day, if you wanted to watch the show and you weren't going to be on it, would you watch it live? And I said, absolutely. I would not want to. Because going online, just turning your phone on ruins it. Because you get all the spoiler information, you get all the spoiler I call the Jardines, after Don Jardine, the spoiler.
Yeah.
So I don't read the Jardines very much. I don't like them. But it would ruin the show if you do everything about it before you watched it. Why would you watch it? I mean, it takes so much of the sauce off of it. It's just not good. So I hope you guys enjoy it, and I'll be thinking about you, sitting up late night watching our show. And maybe we'll give you some good enough commentary that you won't fall asleep on us.
Oh, I think we'll make it through. We're both looking forward to it. So enjoy the trip, JR. It's going to be a hell of a show on January the 4th. Just a loaded lineup. So
thanks, guys. Happy holidays. Happy New Year. And I really value our friendship. So appreciate all the help and look forward to seeing you again in Toronto sooner than later.
Our final entrant, and I think the winner of the Review Away Royal Rumble contest, Jim Ross, joining us on Christmas morning.
Winner? What do you mean?
He won the Royal Rumble.
Number 30. Yeah.
He's
going to WrestleMania.
He's going to WrestleMania. Maybe. We'll find out if he will be in San Jose later this year, next year. Mr. Ting, it is now time for the main event. It is the Review Away Christmas Song Contest. A very serious competition amongst our listeners every single year. We're going to go through them. We're going to play them live. So we're going to get instant feedback from Wei and myself as we listen to these and find out who will be crowned the champion of the Christmas Song Contest. Some serious work goes into these every year.
A lot of work. And if we have a lot of them to get through. So without any further delay, let's get to our first entrant. Actually, our second entrant. Remember, we heard from Nordstrom.
Yes, who is
Headstrom. Nordstrom is the clothing store.
Yeah, well, maybe if he wins this, he'll go on a shopping spree to Nordstrom. But he is very much in the competition. He has set the bar, so he will absolutely be eligible to win the contest.
Up next, though, a frequent contributor to our contest, Sergey Gavriluk, with his rendition, Jingle Balls.
Oh, boy.
Oh, shit. Sorry. Oh.
Hey, guys. This week's podcast is brought to you by Hulu Plus. Yeah. Watch your favorite shows and full seasons anytime, any place with basically...
Man, looking for some of that Review Away exposure.
Jingle Balls.
Calming.
Right now.
Oh, did I say it?
Yeah, you said it like 3-4 times. Oh, simple.
Clever.
Simple and to the point.
Very clever. And didn't need a ton of time.
I thought it would just be an instrumental, and then it hits me.
That was literally...
Hey, guys, this week's podcast is brought to you by Hulu.
Right. Thanks, Jeez. Colt. I don't know why that's...
What is going on?
That gets played. It's on a SoundCloud.
Well, thank you, Sergey. Literally a one-note joke there.
Yeah. Two-word joke.
Yes. So there you go. That was Sergey's entry into this. And me and Wei have not heard these yet, so we are reacting for the first time, as are you, the viewer at home, listener at home. Next up, who do we have on deck?
Next up, we got one Danny Hernandez. What are your favorite memories of Danny Hernandez? It's loading.
Well, I know that Danny is a frequent contributor to many of our various contests, so he knows the deal. He knows what the expectation level is for these contests and how much we value creativity, originality. So that always helps if you are a longtime listener and you have an idea of the standard that has been set from prior winners in the past.
Those are some great memories of Danny Hernandez. And now here he is with a little Law Christmas.
It's now December, so wonderful to listen to Review Away.
Oh dear.
Looking at my iTunes to see a new episode ready to download today. For it's a Law Radio Christmas. Get out your headphones, wipe away the sorrow. I promise there's no poor Bauer. Yes, it's a Law Radio Christmas. Let's go do karaoke. I want to ask that Gremlin Toy Bar, didn't you eat you alive here in Hardcore? Our man, what? Brayden does a great job for opting the Law. Dan, Mal, and Jason get mad every time Bro Ronnie calls the show. Cause it's a Law Radio Christmas. Let's not forget about the jaw with WH and Chris. Talk about that by spirit and guests like Nick Milton and Adrian Abraham. Every time you're on the show, it's fun. It's a Law Radio Christmas. Hope you have happy holidays. Don't subscribe to the Law Pro Boards. That you can go away. Merry Christmas. For RFNT/Law. I once do want to nominate Wei Ting for CM Punk. You can take him away. You're the best jiu-jitsu, judo, third place medalist, all of Canada. Take care.
Wow.
That is a listener. And never have I seen such a discrepancy between music but content within song. I mean, barely a song, but the references are clearly what he is hanging his hat on.
That was like a style, a genre of music all to itself. I've never heard anything like that. Certainly in any contest that we've held.
I feel like I don't even have to plug anything at the end of today's show. He covered it all. Right down to prowrestlingtees.com/law. T-shirts available now.
Including our pro boards. I mean, geez.
So, a great job from Danny. As someone that cannot sing, I give him a ton of credit.
You could sing. Up next, though, somebody who can definitely sing.
This is a big one.
Braxton Witherspoon and the Smart Marks.
I love this title.
A group who has previously won, one of our singing contests. So you know he's going to come with a lot of professional, great art. What is the name of the song?
The song of the latest joint to drop from Braxton Witherspoon and the Smart Marks is entitled... Do you UFC what I UFC? The Ballad of CM Punk. I'm excited for this one.
Hello, everybody. I'm Braxton Witherspoon, and these are the Smart Marks.
Hey!
Back at them. You know it's that time again. Christmas time. It's a holiday season, so we wanted to share a very special song with each and every one of you and wish you a Merry Christmas, Happy Kwanzaa, and of course, Happy Hanukkah.
Mazel
tov, all
baby.
Of our Hebrews out there. That's right. We got a little song for you. Like to hit? Here go.
Russo Records.
You know Rousey and Bones Jones tell Sonnen is witty. Daryl Schoonover, the guy Rampage called T.
titty.
What a reference from Nate.
The most pissed off fighter of all.
Oh my God.
Bill is the bad ex-wrestler, better known as CM Punk. You know he says he's straight edge, which means you'll never see him drunk.
Say what?
All of the other wrestlers used to laugh about his push. And he looked at Vince McMahon like Kanye West looked at George Bush.
This man don't care about black people.
Then one cold December night, Dana came to say, hey, Phil Brooks, with your star so bright, won't you get in my cage and fight? Now Phil is on the fast track, plus he's smashing AJ Lee. Phil Brooks, the mad ex-wrestler, has made it to the UFC. I've been on one cold December night. Dana came to see. Hey, Phil Brooks, with your star so bright, won't you get in my cage and fight? Now all the fanboys love him, and they chant his name with glee.
See you, Paul. See you, Paul.
Phil Brooks, the mad ex-wrestler, finally made it to, made it to the UFC.
All right.
Although he won't get out of round three.
Oh,
happy holidays, everybody. All right. See you next year. It's a celebration.
Holy shit.
Oh, my God.
What I feel we have the new front runner. That was beyond anything I anticipated.
What charisma. Of
damn. Like
Braxton Witherspoon.
Like, that is not an easy task to redo a holiday classic like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and pull off something like that. I was very impressed.
I mean, I think he basically reinvented that song. I'd say
I will hear those lyrics now when I hear Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Yeah. Wow. Do you UFC What Are UFC by Braxton Witherspoon and the Smart Marks? I mean, is he the front runner? I'm not sure.
We're unsure at this point.
But somebody who wants to give him a run for his money is Bilgerat. Bilgerat.
Bilgerat.
Bilgerat.
Backstage office, it's a forlorn old man. It's a bleak, joyless Christmas for Mr. McMahon. The network's not selling, the subscribers won't stay. It's $9.99, but not in the UK. The heavyweight champion sitting home on his ass. No one will reach for the ring made of brass. The roster's not hungry, there's something amiss. Is everyone lazy, or are they just Swiss? The ideas of creative have little appeal. The Bonnie's more over than Titus O'Neil. The Bella's bad acting always stinks up the room, and the show's promo writers should have died in the womb. The crowd's growing restless, they don't like the show. They're already bored and there's 2 hours to go. Up next we've got Cena versus 28 men. There might be a riot when he wins again. The stars are all gone and we're left with the chaff. Half are on roids or are wrestling with staff. McMahon's once great company is in disarray. But things could be worse. He could own TNA.
Wow. Thank you, Bilgerat. What a great name. And honestly, it's one thing to be able to sing with musical accompaniment. It's a whole other to be able to sing with none. And this man took it upon himself to just record straight into a microphone. One man, one mic, and a lot of Christmas cheer. Thank you, Bilgerat. Good job.
Yeah, that was done to Away in the Manger, for those that didn't...
Is that so?
He stated that in his submission.
Oh, gotcha.
Done to the tune
okay.
of Away in the Manger.
All right. So...
Oh my god, this next one I'm very much looking forward to.
Who is that?
Well, one of the big moments this year, John, is the rediscovery of one DJ Jopo and the track J-O-P-O. I mean, not only did Jim Ross mention it in front of a major hundreds of people during the middle of a Q&A, he brought up your rap video, John. Somebody on an episode of Raw actually made a sign.
Oh, that's right.
It's the J-O-P-O, you should know, yo. I don't know who this was.
Did I don't know either. It was like in Texas or somewhere, I think.
Anyway, somebody made a sign with you with the, in reference to this ridiculous former... In reference to this ridiculous project of yours. And I guess it's only fitting it makes an appearance in remix form from our friend Brandon James here, who wants to help celebrate Christmas with this guy, as it loads, DJ Jopo.
I wake up in the morning, have to go to private school. What's the point of that when I'm rhyming like Ja Rule? My dad is a lawyer and my mom is a physician. All I want from sexual education is a crazy ass position. It was December 24th when Hollis Sabbath the dog. Oh, oh, oh. My name is Joe for John Paul, but I never been a pope. I know what you are thinking, but we never drop the soap.
I think what? So loud and proud to hear it's Christmas time that
we got this spirit. Jay-Z thinks he's all bad because he shows
this is a little bad.
99 problems, well, I'm number 100. Forget about that poser and his crazy love, Beyonce. I'll steal all his lyrics and I'll back on his Beyonce. Jack was chilling, the hawk is out, and that's what Christmas is all about. If Mac and Chicks is a religion, I'm a modern day messiah. We want to say Merry Christmas and Happy New Year! This is my show.
Wow, I never...
Did you submit that?
I did not submit that.
Oh.
I swear. You really thought I would do that?
Of course I do.
I never thought I'd ever hear a mashup between John Pollock and Run DMC.
Of course.
And why wouldn't I have before? It just seems to be a perfect fit. this thing just won't ever die.
No, no.
I'll say good attempt. I mean, as far as mashups go...
mashups are a tricky art to master.
I would say start off by maybe matching the beat tempo, but you know what we should do is release the instrumental and the a cappella to that classic rhyme.
No, it's done.
Actually, that should be our next contest. Make a new remix, the DJ Jopo song.
No, that will not be a contest.
Yeah.
No, that will not be a contest.
I think that in the new year, that's something you guys can look forward to.
Well, thank you for the submission.
That was a mashup of DJ Jopo's classic J-O-P-O and Christmas in Hollis by Run DMC.
Which is always available if you ever run into Way in any bar scenario or just on the street.
I will bring it up. I will most likely bring it up. So you can count on that and count on John Pollock being very uncomfortable anytime I do talk about it. Up next, our final entrant.
One more.
Perhaps our most controversial entrant.
Yes, this led to a big divide last year. He is back. It is Gaurav, who has put in his Christmas submission. No idea what it is. Our lawyers have joined us in the room to make sure with a microscope under these lyrics to make sure there's no copyright infringement, no borrowing from past contributions from professional wrestlers.
We have subjected him to a urine sample,
which will be coming back later this week, and we will determine. We tested both blood and urine to find out if there's any performance enhancers in his... stream.
Okay, here we go. Gaurav Kumar with a Christmas jingle.
Jingle bells, Agnew smells, Loransky laid an egg. Pollock is amazing, like Greg from the Peg. Waiting is awesome, he fights like Bruce Lee. I think you should kick CM Punk's ass in the UFC. I won the promo contest. I'm going to win this too. All you pro board members hate me too bad. I hate you too.
Oh.
You don't believe me. You think I'm telling lies. Stone Cold Steve Austin mentioned me on his podcast twice. This is my original. Don't go out on a limb. Admit it, you pro board members. I'm your favorite blimp. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, original. Man. Original.
That one, I think it's safe to say he came up with himself.
Yes.
Well, you know what? For all the shit we say, the guy is, like, pretty talented at some of these contests. He, like, comes up with great submissions.
So thank you to Gaurav, and thank you to all of our submissions for this year's Review Away Christmas Song Contest. And I imagine you're going to pick a winner and I'm going to pick one. Is that how we're going to do this way? Maybe we will have...
Yeah.
I don't know if we'll have the same one or not.
You know, give me a second. Actually, there are a lot of good ones. So, oh, man. Let's talk out loud our thoughts. Let's review, first of all. First, okay. We have Hedstrom. Hedstrom, which you heard off the top of the
show. I loved it.
The wrestling show was horrible. And remember, it's the one with the arpeggiator. The wrestling show was horrible with the four verses. I thought that was very good. Up next, we had Sergey with the Right Now.
Simple, to the point.
Jingle Balls, Right Now. We also had, what is this, Danny Hernandez with perhaps the most bizarre entry we've ever received on
Best Lyrics, Worst Song.
Yeah, which oddly makes for a very compelling combination.
Yes, which, I mean, it's kind of like that... professional wrestler that is like $1 million promo but sucks in the ring.
Yeah.
There's still a ton of value to it.
Oh, you still want to watch him?
Sure.
Absolutely. We also have, of course, Braxton Witherspoon and the Smart Marks with Do You UFC What I UFC, the Ballad of CM Punk. Another home run from Braxton. And, of course, Bilge Rat, who did the sort of a solo...
Away in a Manger.
Away in a Manger. In a cold office, it's a forlorn old man. The thing about Mr. McMahon. We had... we had a lot of submissions this year. Brandon James with the mashup of DJ Jopo and Christmas in Hollis. And, of course, Gaurav with his Christmas freestyle.
A nice jingle to Gaurav's.
I thought so.
Utilized his time well. It was original.
Made a lot of references to the Pro Boards feud.
That is true.
Ongoing Pro Boards feud.
Not extending an olive branch this Christmas holiday. Mm-mm. Is Gaurav.
No. Hard to choose. Let me think about this. Do you have a choice?
I do.
Let me think about this. Very hard to choose. Let me see. Well, why don't you talk about yours first?
Well, I'm going with Braxton Witherspoon. I was blown away by that. I was so impressed with the lyrics, with the time that went into it, and the fact that he brought up the titties reference to just an obscure fighter in Ultimate Fighter history.
Mm-hmm.
I was just amazed that Nate brought that one up.
Daryl Schoonover.
From the Ultimate Fighter Season 10, I believe. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, it's very hard for me to choose. I think a lot of people did great. I'd like to give honorable mention to, first of all, Gaurav. I think for all the shit people say about you, man, you do it up. You do it up for these contests. And as long as you're not copying things, I don't know why you need to copy, you know? Maybe look towards yourself.
He's learned his ways.
Be confident in your
own
abilities.
Came back this year?
Yeah, your talent.
It's not how many times you get knocked down, it's how many times you get back up.
You're talented enough to not have to resort to scheming ways. Just think about what's inside of you and release it to the world. So honorable mention to him. I do think, though, he, you know, it wasn't the best. But also honorable mention to what do we got here?
Nordstrom Hedstrom, I want to give an honorable mention to for mine. He was okay. Great off the top.
Well, actually, he was going to be my choice.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
So congratulations, Hedstrom.
Why are you picking him?
You know, good lyrics, good music, which I'll assume he wrote himself. And
You know, let's change that.
No, that's a great reason to give it to him.
No.
You did a great job.
No, we'll redo this.
I will definitely not remember to redo
this. Seriously? All right, he wins.
He wins.
This is so bad.
This is great. He's excited right now. Maybe he's going to write a victory song.
All right. Yeah, so congratulations.
Well, that's going to bring an end to this marathon review away Christmas show to cap off Christmas. No Christmas complete without the Christmas show.
No.
And I want to thank all of our guests who joined us during this show. We have the pleasure that we've made a lot of friends through this show and working with them as well. And we got to have a ton of them on this show. So that's why I always enjoy doing this show, is just to have a lot of our friends on. There's people that, you know, they can be guests, but sometimes you develop a friendship out of it. And I feel all those people who joined us today, we could say that with.
Yeah, even if I don't follow them on Twitter, it doesn't mean I don't follow them in life. So
a life follower.
I follow you in life.
That's wonderful. A real takeaway for this Christmas season. So we're going to wrap things up. Wei is going to cue up the song that he just can't hear enough of that is going to take us out here. But next week on the show, it is Preview Away. It'll be myself, Chris Charlton, and W.H. Park. We're going to be chatting the Wrestle Kingdom 9 show coming up that weekend. Wei will be here. We're going to have not only Scott D'Amore on the show from Global Force Wrestling, but myself and Wei Ting, we're going to air the full chat we had with Jim Ross. You just got a sample of it on today's show. Next week, the full interview will be running as we're going to chat about New Japan with Jim Ross, the full chat next week. So you can expect that next Wednesday morning. So December 31st, we move back to our regular Wednesday morning release for Review Away. And of course, this weekend, it's the Law's Worst of 2014 show, kicking off at midnight Eastern at liveaudiowrestling.com. And we want to thank all of you for listening all year long, your submissions, and especially songs, which Wei, you have won that didn't win, but has the number one place for replay value for you.
I need to hear this again just so I can figure out what was the mental process. Sometimes you listen to art, you see such great art, you got to watch it over and over again or take it in over and over again just to try to think about the artist's process. And this is no different. Here is a Little Law Christmas, once again, from Danny Hernandez.
It's now December, so wonderful to listen to Review Away. Looking at my iTunes to see a new episode ready to download today. For it's a Law Radio Christmas. Get out your headphones, wipe away the sorrow.
Alright, What have you done with your VHS tapes? Or do you still have a big collection? Or are you like John? Have you begun to digitize
your collection? I'm sorry, Wei. I can barely hear you.
Oh. Do you think, the UFC has taken any measures to try to prevent this from happening next year?
Okay, so I'm having a really hard time hearing Wei because you were cutting out on me. Wei?
Hello?
John, Wei? First of all, I feel a little bit sad. I feel like Wei ran away after I said I couldn't hear him, and now he hasn't asked me any questions. Is there any truth behind that?
Hello, can you hear? 1-2, 1-2, 1-2.
Uh-oh. What happened? John, I can barely hear Wei, and I didn't really make out the question. I apologize.